corpse of the nigga. I'm like, yo, this shit is not no whisker right here. This shit is like fucking leopard fur on my goddamn cock, son.
A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. DJ Newstar.
Yes!
DJ Newstar.
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. Good and terrible.
Baby doll, they swing this shit like a wrecking ball. 5'11" tall, dark brown eyes, caramel skin. I ain't seen you in my life, sugar, where you been? Tell me, who's your friend? Cause this is my man, so won't you set it off between them, love, cause that's the plan. Hook your friend with my man, come sit in my lap. I'll listen to your yap, then I'll bust my rap. I'll size up your gap, you size up my phone. It's sticking meaty like a hot calzone. Fresh out the oven with the all night loving. I freak the styles you like, but don't get from your husband. And when I call, just tell him I'm your cousin. I got a dozen cousins just like you.
Reach out to our princess on green. All the decent y'all picking it nice enough to see. Reach out to our princess on green. Pamela and Donna, they want a Maxine. Reach out to our princess on green. Joanna Monique and the girl named Irene. Reach out to our princess on green. Keep your mind dusty, but your body clean.
And like the upper gym, let's keep the door shut. You're not to mine, I heard a thrust with no cut. I never been stuck from neck back to butt. Handcuffs and stuff as I watch you strut. To the window, your legs out with your silhouette. Then you bend low, lick my crack to my chest. I defend my manhood and co-represent. I command my sex with a harmony text. Mysteries and signs equate the dumps to destinies. Blessing me, varieties of ecstasy. You do me so slow, I blaze indeed. I nickname you Luna Beam, LSD. IBI, any queen who is deceit. If you could dissect me in my scientific scene. Speckle, baby, I'm real.
Come on,
red bone steel and Cherokee appeal.
Reach out to our princess on green. Yes, I need some gal kicking in the scene. Reach out to our princess on green. I got a little tin of lady up on here rocking and coming. Reach out to our princess on green. Your head could alarm, you could extension the body thing. Reach out to our princess on green. Make sure you watch the part which part between. Reach out to our princess on green. Look around Alphabella and the one named Karina.
The earth piece stopped me dead, had to cease in my tracks. Run up an axe at any time in your life. Have you been blessed? No need to second guess. You be banging like that dress, hanging off your frame. If it's all the same, let me throw my game. Hit you for your name, plus your area code. I might overload, but that won't explode. Baby, darling, until you're ready. My name ain't Crazy Legs, hun, but I can rock steady. Blowing up the spot like J. Paul Getty.
Freak stuff,
DJ New Style Show. Coming to you live from New Jersey, safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark, we proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
Are you guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. No, no. No.
Fuck you!
Oh, snap! This is against the reason when he opens the show, he does this.
Oh, snap!
You're listening to the DJ New Style Show. exclusive Tuesday night programming on thereisnoradio.com. Because truthfully, there is no radio. You're listening on your goddamn computer, or you've downloaded this onto some bitch-made-ass iPod that Steve Jobs put into your fucking grimy hands. But anyway, as usual, bitches, Rammstein. Yeah, whatever. That shit right there is about as hard as you ever need to be on a record. Rammstein. I'd like to see what Germ thinks of our intro tonight, because he's always a little bit of a nitpicker when it comes to the old intro. Germ, how are you tonight?
What's going on, New Style?
Did you forget my name? Did you forget my name?
For a second, I did.
You did, you son of a bitch, you.
Well, you'll get over it.
How dare you? I thought you'd be a little bit more alert, because we both agreed that we were going to have a little bit of a pick-me-up right before the show. From our new favorite coffee place, and I don't know if you guys have heard of this or not, Starbucks. Wow, look out for these guys.
You know what? I'm part of the Starbucks generation.
Are you? Starbucks, the choice of an aging generation.
Yes.
Yes.
I have to say a girl, aka Barbara. She turned me on to the Starbucks, and I'm fucking hooked, baby. I'm fucking hooked.
You're hooked because you have more options and you don't have to have your beverage served by a savage. Currently, your beverages are served by people who love independent record labels. And that's kind of nice. It's kind of nice. Germ, you've become a bit of a Starbucks expert.
I have. I've learned the menu. I've studied it and I order it. So when I order it, I don't look like an amateur.
Well, what do you get? Let's hear it. And I want you to say, let's say if I say, oh, hey, welcome to Starbucks. What would you order?
I get a Venti Cafe Latte Breve, 4 equals extra hot.
4 equals, and you roll the R in Breve.
Breve.
But you don't say Venti right. You still fuck up the Venti.
I say Venti.
You said Vente.
All right, I apologize. Venti Cafe Latte.
Yeah, you didn't want to sound like you didn't want to sound like a fucking amateur. But you fucked up the Venti.
You know what?
It's Venti.
I misspoke.
You son of a bitch.
Mr. Nitpick.
See, you pride yourself on being Italian, but you do not know the word for 20.
I was looking at something as I was talking, and I misspoke. I apologize.
I've ranted in the past about the sizes. Why can't they conform and be small, medium, large?
Okay.
But
yes.
The large is venti, which means 20, which 20. Means you're getting 20 ounces.
Exactly.
In every case, right, Germ? You order a venti, you're getting 20 ounces?
Not in every case. Oh, snap!
See, this is a German.
All right. When you order a cold venti, or venti, whatever the fuck it is, you get 24 ounces.
Oh, snap. Really?
See, I'm an expert.
C-Rock, what do you think of that? 24 ounces of beverage? Are you kidding? That sounds out of this world.
Oh, snap.
God, he sounds a little bit relaxed today. Well, maybe he'll be excited later on. I don't know. C-Rock, you going to get excited in the show?
Oh, snap.
Yes, he is. He's ready to go. And I just dropped something here. I don't really know what's going on. Anyway, Germ, do you frequently get the same thing? Do you get the same thing all the time when you go to Starbucks?
No, you know what? Typically, I was getting a cappuccino. However, I realized that when I get the cappuccino, it feels like there's like air. There's nothing in there. And I realized that a lot of the cappuccino is just foam milk.
It is. I got the cappuccino before, and I was very disappointed to find out that my beverage in a venti cup is not 20 ounces. I mean, I paid for fucking venti. I put up with the fat girl behind the counter, you know, making eyes at me and commenting on my fucking my jacket and my hair, telling me how she tells me I look very nice today. Meanwhile, I pretty much just rolled out of bed and picked up dirty clothes and put them on and went to work.
Right.
As Alki had said, I have perfect hair every time. I don't necessarily agree with this, but the staff at Starbucks concurs.
Right.
That's right. And I put up with this shit, and I'm like, hey, what the fuck, fatty? In my head, because I'm very polite. I shake my glass, or my glass, my cup, I shake it a little bit, and you can hear a whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And I'm like, what gives? I'm like, oh, well, that's there's a lot of foam. A lot of foam in your cappuccino.
Jerm, why is that? Why is there so much foam?
Why? I don't know why. I just know that there's more foam in the cappuccino. So what I was doing was, I said to myself, listen, I'm enjoying this beverage, but I'd like less foam. So then I moved on to a cafe.
Please continue. Okay. I love your thought process. That, listen, I'm enjoying this beverage, but I would appreciate less foam.
Right. So what I do it now is I order a cafe latte, which is the same thing, but it's got almost a little bit foam. It's got steam milk instead of that.
Jerm, now, let me tell you something right now.
Yes, sir.
Driving home from work, I'm drinking a cafe latte.
Sounds good, man.
And you know what? I completely went against what you had suggested, which was some kind of fucking peppermint, just abomination that I didn't even want to get. Peppermint fucking, like, let's pretend we're in a goddamn gingerbread house.
I didn't recommend any peppermint shit to you.
You told me, when I said, what should I get?
Oh,
you said, get a
please.
Peppermint. You gotta get the peppermint.
I wasn't even paying attention.
Peppermint, you said.
But let me just tell you this, okay?
Over and over again.
Okay. Let me just tell you this, okay?
Continue.
Now, you can order a cappuccino with less foam, okay?
Do I get and more drink?
Exactly.
That's what it is.
Exactly. Now, you order it wet or dry.
You're listening to the DJ New Style Show. We're doing Starbucks chat on thereisnoradio.com. I don't know if you've ever been there, but they're the place that you can pretty much find anywhere. Pretty much fucking anywhere. And we're learning about cappuccinos, how to order them. Mike Nice is checking in, and this time actually in text and not via MP3 Sound Club. He's saying that when he gets his cappuccinos, he gets them wet. Wet, nuggle. That's what he gets. That's what he gets. He doesn't like them dry for some reason. What's the difference?
Well, the wet has less foam. The dry has a lot of foam. The wet has less foam. So you could order a cappuccino wet, which has less foam, but it's almost comparable to a cafe latte. So you might as well just get the cafe latte.
It's the same goddamn thing, but what's the difference?
There's a fine, thin line between a wet cappuccino and a cafe latte.
I like the idea of someone discovering Starbucks in 2007. Someone who's fucking never been there and has apparently read every Wikipedia article on every fucking menu item they have.
Because I want to educate myself before I go there. Don't you understand?
Usually I just go there and I look at the menu. Any new place. I'm like, oh, here's the menu. What a fucking novel idea. They actually list the things they sell and I pick one and then I enjoy it or I don't.
Now, one of the complaints I had about Starbucks is I went there a couple times in the past, and the coffee was not hot enough to my liking. Lo and behold, you can order it extra hot, which is 10 degrees above the normal 170 degrees. So you can order it at 180 degrees, which is extra hot, and that's what I do.
So you order your thing extra hot so you can
extra
get it
hot.
Just 10 degrees more, and it's that does the trick.
And that makes a difference.
You think you could tell that one beverage is 10 degrees hotter than another? After it's above fucking 150 degrees.
My tongue can tell.
Your tongue?
My tongue!
Your tongue. Refrain from scalding your tongue with an extra hot, wet cappuccino, because apparently you can't pronounce tongue. Because you're fucking...
Listen, I misspoke,
all
right?
You have all kinds of burned pockmarks on your fucking tongue.
Now, let me tell you this. I have only one person to thank for the Starbucks revolution, and that I have to say is the one and only Barbara. Seeing her kiss that cup, I said to myself, you know what? If she's going to kiss a goddamn paper cup, there's got to be something to that coffee.
Well, here she is on the phone. Barb, I know you have to go really quick. What do you think of Starbucks?
Love it.
Well, that's Barb checking in. She apparently loves Starbucks so much that she's even posted a picture of herself kissing, I guess, a cup of coffee with a straw in the hole.
Yeah.
With a straw in the hole. How do you feel about drinking hot coffee through a plastic straw?
To be honest with you, I don't get that, and maybe that's her own thing, you know. And I do know that the barrister gave her a dirty look when she put the straw in there.
The what?
The barrister.
The barrister?
Yeah, the barrister.
What is exactly the barrister?
The barrister is the person who makes the coffee.
You sure it's... I didn't know fucking Starbucks had a legal team that worked in every store. That's amazing. Because apparently a barrister is a lawyer found in many common law jurisdictions.
Listen, I don't make up the names. I'm just telling you what's going on.
Barista.
Oh, barista. Okay.
Barista. We're like a barrister. In case you want to get a common law divorce in fucking Starbucks. Whatever. You go to the barrister, and then you go to the barista and get your cup of coffee.
Right.
Yeah. Don't turn around. Uh-oh. There are barristers in town. Uh-oh. Barrister.
Okay, I misspoke for the third time. You want to continue onwards? Or you want
God, I'd love to. I really wish I could. I just think I would probably have a heart attack, Joe. Right. I mean, I have so much caffeine in my system now that I almost didn't fall asleep on the way home.
Okay, listen. Now, I know what you usually got in the past was Cafe Americano.
Yes, that's that.
But Americano is simply espresso diluted with hot water until it's roughly the strength of regular coffee.
Please don't just say it's simply that, like it's a shitty drink. A lot of people get that. I happened to like it until I realized that it was a little watery and that sometimes they put too much water in it. So now I just get something else. But I enjoy it when it's done right.
Mm-hmm. I see.
It is.
Now, what type of sweetener do you get? And I will give you the
none.
I will give
Nothing.
You the choices.
Nothing.
I will give you the choices. Then you answer.
Go ahead.
Okay, you can get sugar, sweet and low, equal, or Splenda. What do you get?
Nothing.
I see.
None. Why do I need it?
Because coffee's bitter.
That's right. I like it bitter, baby. That's what I like, bitches. Okay. Tried to steal your little quip at the end of every line.
What's your opinion of iced coffee? Do you enjoy it?
I do enjoy it. I actually order an iced Cafe Americana. When I'm gambling, and when I have lost gambling, I will get whipped cream on it to comfort myself. When I've lost several hundred dollars and I have nothing to do but photograph Vegas and see shit that I've seen countless times.
Okay.
Yes. Well, what do you sweeten yours with? You've already said equal.
I
use out of the fucking bag.
Well, I use four equals.
Why four? Four is a pretty odd number.
A four equals because let me tell you why. Starbucks actually has four sizes. I know we've mentioned the three, and they are, in order of biggest to tallest, they have the tall, the short, the tall, the grande, and the venti. The short is more like a children's size, which is 8 ounces. So for an 8 ounces, I put one packet of sugar. For the tall, I put two. Grande, I put three. And venti, I put four. That's how I come up with that.
So you're doing what you liken to be some kind of fucking complex mathematics. Meanwhile, you're just adding a new fucking packet per each size.
For every 4 ounces, I add a packet.
You add a fucking packet per size.
Exactly.
Yeah, so the ounces has already been fucking decided before you ever came up with your fucking, your equation. So you use equal, so you don't give a shit about turning into fucking Michael J. Fox when aspartame fucking puts a damper on your motor skills.
You know what it is, New Style? You know I have a phobia of germs, okay? Do you want me to live in a fucking cave? I mean, I gotta do something, you know?
Well, what does aspartame have to do with germs?
Well, I'm saying, you know, thank God, you know, utilizing artificial sweetener does not make me nervous.
I know.
Don't give me that much.
Oh, it's true. It's just too bad that it's more likely to transmit microbes.
So are cell phones.
That's true. Well, artificial sweeteners, as you already know, I'm sure, do not have the property of sugar, which wards off microbes from staying on it. Sugar will be microbe resistant.
I noticed that they also, as far as the dairy products,
you're just trying to glaze right over that, aren't you?
You can get non-fat milk, low-fat breve. Now, do you know what? Do you know what breve is, a new style?
No, I don't.
What is breve?
If I say no, don't fucking ask the question again.
Breve is half and half, and I like a little creaminess in my
coffee. Why can't you just fucking say half and half?
Because I'm trying to be part of the trend.
You're trying to be trendy? You're going to go in there with a fucking popped collar, a fucking teal headband, and fucking like a yellow shirt under your fucking collared shirt. You'd be going in all neons, fucking just like any other hipster would. as they bring their new iPod Touch in and automatically download songs that are played while they sip on their fucking faggoty named beverages, which are delicious, I must say. That's what you want to be. You want to be a hipster.
Well, I'm trying my best to do something.
I mean, do you want to be, you know, in touch? You don't want to lose touch, do you?
No. I apologize, but what I'm saying is this. You know, when I...
By the way, I want to clarify that. When I said no, that was as far away from an O&A reference as I could get. I'm not trying to do that. Thanks. Please continue.
Okay, well, you had to make sure you clarified that, right?
Yeah, I wanted to, because I wanted to...
First of all, I'd like to know what you're consuming right now.
I'm consuming dinner.
Okay.
Do you want to know what it is?
Sure.
Why don't you guess? That's a hilarious internet radio bit popularized by Craig Coleman. I chew on food and you guess what it is. It's amazing.
Long lost Craig Coleman. Anyway, listen to me.
Yes.
It's not important what you're drinking.
I'm not drinking anything. I'm eating stuff.
All right, listen.
It's called dinner.
I just want to say this. When I do something, I have to learn its background first. Case in point, the Starbucks. Just like with my smoking, I have to learn the basics of it first. So I have to learn the rituals involved with it. I have to be educated in something before I start it.
I would really like to point something out, because I'm not really paying attention to the last two sentences you just said. I read something brilliant from the Pal Talk room. You can go there, too, if you're listening live. Or if you're not, we always hang out here. It's the DJ New Style Show live room on Pal Talk. Solera just said, Germ, you should listen. And I noticed that you do say listen a lot, and often more than one time per sentence. And yet you continue to miss key details that people have already said. I mean, what do you have to say for yourself?
I apologize.
All right. Where to go from there, Jerm? What were you talking about? Are you there still?
I'm here. Am I allowed to talk now or what?
Listen, please do not get all fucking... bent out of shape.
I'm not getting bent out of shape. I don't
look. All right. Well, I'm sorry. What were you saying when I wasn't paying any attention to you?
What I was saying was this.
God, this is delicious.
And I do want to point out with something that. What are you eating, first of all?
No, never mind. Just continue. Okay. What are you?
All right. Listen to me. Oh, I apologize.
This cuts. This is fucking great. This cuts really nice. Continue, please. Germ.
When you're ready to talk, you let me know.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
Do you want to take a break so you can finish your dinner so you don't fucking choke on
it? No, I'm going to eat. No, don't worry about my dinner. Just pretend I'm not eating. Please,
continue. All right. What do you want to talk about now?
No, you were saying something?
Who are you talking to?
No, I'm just commenting, you know, a little bit. God, it's delicious.
This is riveting.
What were you saying, Jerm?
No, I wasn't saying anything.
You weren't?
Nope.
You really should say. I'm really chilling right now. Yeah,
okay. Barbara pointed something in the room before. She said Frank wanted to get his ears pierced to catch up with the times, and that is true.
When did you decide to do this?
The same time I decided I was going to use black eyeliner.
Hold on. I didn't know this. There's a lot of things I don't know about you, about your urges to be young again.
Well, when I was in high school, I had a very strict father, old Italian father. And he was very strict, and if I ever got an earring or anything of that nature, he would have threw me down the stairs. So I'm a 37-year-old gentleman now, and I'm thinking about getting an earring.
But aren't you worried that he won't be proud of you from heaven with your fucking faggoty dangly cross, which I guarantee would be the earring you choose?
Put a dildo up your ass first.
Where does that come from?
Well, somebody by the name of Solera, which backwards is Arellis, says put a dildo up your ass first.
Just for whatever reason. Okay, yeah. Normally when you read from the chat room, it helps if you indicate that you're reading from a chat room, so that you don't seem like just a raving lunatic who just reads things about dildos and shoving them in people's asses.
I see. Okay. Anyway,
About your dad being a strict guy.
So yeah, I mean, he wouldn't let me get an earring, and I wanted one. So I went to school, like high school, in the mid to late '80s, and I fucking wanted an earring so bad.
He wouldn't let you have one, would he?
Oh, I would have been thrown down the stairs. Okay, so now I'm 37 years old, and I would like to get an earring.
Why? But why? What appeals to you? that you want to raise your kid, Luke, to look up to somebody who is wearing woman jewelry?
You know, my daughter's 8 years old, and she's got a boy in her class who has an earring in his ear. How fucked up is that?
Well, I remember kids in, like, second grade that had earrings. They also had those stupid rat tails. Jerm, did you ever have a rat tail?
Yes, and I bleached it.
Why? Why did you bleach it?
Because that was the in thing.
Wait, so your father flips out on you for having a fucking earring?
Well, he flipped out when he saw the rat's tail. He cut it off.
He just came up with scissors and cut it off.
He cut it off.
Really?
Yeah.
I just don't know what to say about that. You were really a defiant child.
No, I wasn't. I really wasn't.
You had a goddamn bleach blonde rat tail, and you were just itching to have your fucking ears pierced.
I had it for 3 days until he found out, and then I didn't have it.
How did you hide it for 3 days?
I walked, put it underneath my collar.
Did you pop your collar to fucking make it look a little bit less visible?
Exactly.
Like fucking Fonzie?
Yeah. So we had to, we didn't get, so I'm also, I see a lot of men nowadays, they wear black eyeliner and black nail polish, and I'm thinking about
who wears that. What man wears black eyeliner? Like, just because Bret Michaels wears it on his fucking reality show doesn't mean every man is wearing black eyeliner. And because you idolize Mystery, that fucking that fraud.
Mystery is the man. Mystery has broken the wall of learning about women, and he knows the ins and outs. And I'm talking about Mystery from VH1's. What's the name of the show again?
I don't know. Asshole with a fuzzy hat and an amulet.
Yeah. What was the name of the show, Barb?
The Pickup Artist.
Oh, The Pickup Artist. He has this. He has figured out women, and he is the master. Mystery is the master.
If you were a single guy, would you try out his as he calls, the Mystery Method?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You would?
Absolutely.
What would be your opener? I guess part of it is you have to catch a woman off guard.
Right.
And you have to break the tension with a quick joke or an embarrassing quip. What would be something that you would use to break down that wall right away and get in on the conversation?
I would use the line that he used about, you know, when you go up to a girl.
Try it. I'm a woman minding my own business, perhaps eating a delicious dinner.
Did you know that 90% of females masturbate in the shower and the other 10% sing? And then I would ask you...
This is fucking delicious.
Then I would ask you, do you know what they sing? All right, fuck you.
No, what were you saying?
90% of women masturbate in the shower, and the other 10% sing. Do you know what they sing?
No.
Well, you must be the 90% that masturbates. Oh, give it to me. That's what I would do.
And you would do the oh, give it to me. Would you like pump your fists outward like you're boxing?
No. This isn't my line. This is Mystery's line.
Yeah, no, but how would you make it your own? Oh, baby, give it to me! Isn't gonna fucking win too many strange girls at a bar over.
I see. Okay, moving on.
Dan and Cal, our buddy Dan Wright from formerly of RadioBBQ.net fame and the Dan Wright Live Show fame. He says that the girls would probably punch you in your face. Solera would spit in Mystery's face and it just wouldn't go well for you, Jerm.
Right, right.
I mean, nobody really believes in this guy except for him. I think, and the nerds that they get on his show, like you would be one of them. You would be the, I think the chubby one that has to wear the Speedo and get over his uncomfortability.
I don't think I was as bad as that individual. Thank you. Okay, and I don't appreciate the humor. But you know what? The kid who won?
I mean, I don't even know because I saw two episodes.
He was, I think, a Dominican or a young fellow or Brazilian or something.
Wow, he's anything that you would deem to be brown is what you're trying to get at.
No, but
you don't know where he's from, so you're pulling at any fucking country you can pull at.
He was like Colombian, some South American country.
Okay, that's a whole continent, Jerm. But okay, it's all right. So he won, and Barb is checking in. Babada is saying that it's what's that?
Cosmo was his name, yes.
Cosmo Kramer?
No, it was not Cosmo Kramer.
Oh.
And no homo. And I know
what does that mean?
Well, I'm being hacky and saying that, you know, not to be gay, but he was a good-looking guy. And you always think that...
What was his best feature?
I don't know. He just was a good-looking guy.
What did you like about him?
I don't say I didn't like anything about him. I just said he was a good-looking guy.
Okay.
Okay?
I mean, usually when someone says someone's good-looking, they can pick something out about him.
And you usually don't think a good-looking guy would have a trouble getting a girl. In fact, he did, so.
So you looked at him and thought, wow, why does this guy... Exactly. Oh, God, I'm so sexy. Holy exactly. shit, I am fucking outrageously sexy. God,
right.
if only
right.
Hot or Not had sounds, that'd be amazing. So you look at that guy like, God, why can't he find a girlfriend?
Well, I was wondering if he's a good-looking dude, you know, he's having trouble. I guess we're not all perfect, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe Barbara has trouble, too, you know? I don't know.
So you're implying that Barb is perfect?
No, because she dribbles her coffee sometimes.
Does that make you not perfect? Does that make you a bad person?
No. All right, moving on.
God, Jim, I think that maybe you might want to get decaf. Do they have decaf at Starbucks?
I've never had decaf coffee.
Never have? I've had it.
No.
It can trick you.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I think that I'm drinking regular coffee, and I get a right. little bit more pepped up, but it's artificial.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. So, Germ, why don't we take a quick break here?
Okay.
We have some Germ Freak Radio coming up. And okay. I'm pretty excited about it. You're picking some one-hit wonders, I guess?
That's what I usually do.
Yeah, that's what you usually do.
I know Steve DeLarper, he's one of the few people who does enjoy the music that I pick.
I think a lot of people do, and they just they don't admit it yet.
Right, right.
Because the same people that like that don't like you.
I see.
No, I'm kidding. They love you, Germ. Everybody does. Does that bother you that I imply people don't like you?
No.
Please answer the question.
No.
No?
All right.
Take us out to break.
Let's go to break. Oh, thanks, Steve.
The DJ New Style Show will be right back.
Formed in New York City in 1981, former members of this band include... Fuck! All right, here we go. Should I keep going? Okay, should I keep going? Okay. Formed in New York City in 1981, former members of this band include Late Show with David Letterman's band leader, Paul Schaefer, and New Jersey's own John Bon Jovi. Unfortunately, however, this band broke up shortly after releasing this hit, which reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100. It's Scandal with The Warrior.
Follow me a step. The DJ New Style Show.
I'm busy. I'll be there in a minute. I'll be there in a minute. God damn it. All right. Okay. This one hit wonder. All right, calm. All right, just give me a second here. Okay. This one hit wonder for Canadian. Okay. This one hit wonder for Canadian. All right, calm down. All right. This one hit wonder for this Canadian musician. Oh, God. Okay. All right, calm down. All right. This one hit wonder for Canadian musician. All right, calm. All right. It's not flowing right. I apologize. Okay. 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 The original version of this song was about a totalitarian. I'll be there in a minute! Okay. The original version of. Fucker. Okay, calm down. All right. The original version of this song was about a totalitarian. I can't say that word. The original version of this song was about a totalitarian. Okay. The original version of this song was about a totalitarian. I can't say the fucking word. I'm going to fucking say it, and however it sounds, it sounds. The original version of this song was about a totalitarian. That don't sound right. The original version of this song was about a totalitarian society that made everyone wear their sunglasses at night. It's one hit wonder for this Wow! This song was featured on 2002 video game Grand Theft Audio Vice City as part of the new wave radio station Wave 103. It's Canadian musician's one hit wonder, Sunglasses at Night.
I wear my sunglasses at night so I can watch you weave and breathe your storylines. And I wear my sunglasses at night so I can keep track of the visions in my eyes. While she
Lucky you. You're listening to the DJ New Style Show. Dick. Oh, you're all lucky indeed, bitches. Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. Exclusive Tuesday night internet radio programming on thereisnoradio.com. And I specify internet radio programming because that's the finest stuff you could possibly hear with computer speakers or earbuds. Germ Freak, how are you, buddy? You doing all right?
Good evening.
What did you think of your performance on Germ Freak Radio?
Am I going to talk over this music or what?
See, I fucked up there. Continue, please.
Okay.
Please.
Some people noticed that I mispronounced the word auto, and instead I said audio.
You did.
And and Irish Alki in the room, he said, "You get prosecuted for grand theft audio if you hold up a Sam Goody." And I thought that was a classic line. Very funny.
He's full of them. Irish Alki. By the way, go to alkisbag.org. alkisbag.org. Going, I think he's got t-shirt orders, all that stuff coming out. At least two people are interested. And I think that is a solid foundation to base a t-shirt business on. alkisbag.org. Possibly three. It's crazy, Jeremy. It's really crazy. And even crazier is Mischief Night, which is tonight.
It is.
If you're in here listening, that means you're not partaking in the mayhem, which is defiling your hometown. The absolute and utter mischief. And all the bad stuff the kids are going to do tonight. Jerm, when was the last time you've seen the toilet paper in the trees?
At least 10, 15 years.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, it's been a slow death for Mischief Night, pretty much. It was starting to die off. It used to be that... pretty much every year, less and less kids got involved. I attribute it to the internet and basically widespread availability of pornography in homes. There's just not that much that you need to do to get your frustrations out when you can just crank a batch to fucking Tara Patrick on your dad's laptop that he has to bring into work tomorrow and explain why RedTube is in the history. But it was starting to die off, and then this week... the beginning of the week, I saw fucking toilet paper in the trees of the parking lot where I work, and not even in all of them. It was in like one of the trees, like these skater kids, and I know exactly who it is. It's the same kids who were always there every single afternoon, just skateboarding in Basking Ridge, New Jersey. The skateboarders of Basking Ridge, because that's where the hardcore skate scene is.
Very, folks. Very affluent area.
Affluent or affluent?
Very affluent area.
Barrister. So there was one tree that had toilet paper in it. And I remember the days when I used to do this. I was a wee tot, and I used to partake in the old Mischief Night. I used to do things and wrap the trees and do all that stuff. Did you ever get into any of that, Jerm?
Have any friends that did, maybe? I did the soaping of the car. I did the soaping of the windows.
Of course it would be the soap. Anything with soap for you is pretty much a welcome.
One time I did something and I felt terrible about what I did. My mother was making chicken soup of some sort, and she had a cup full of grease.
Ooh.
And I took the grease and I...
And you brought it to Mike Nice's house, and you had a delicious fried chicken dinner.
Oh, snap.
It's not racist. That's actually, I think that's what happens. They save the... Anyway, continue, please.
No, and I took the cup and the grease and I scooped it out onto car windows and I rubbed it all over the car windows. And grease in a car, it's kind of difficult to remove that. And I
you
felt
were
terrible.
A terror as a youth.
I felt terrible.
Yeah, you really were.
Yeah.
I used epoxy and fucking crazy glue and masking tape to seal up mailboxes. And I was like 9 or 10, something like that. I used to really get involved, man. I made this mystery mixture.
Oh, boy.
I just took fucking anything under the sink in the refrigerator. And I'd even go to my Asian friend's house because he had all kinds of fucking shit. Like one time, and I know I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again just for effect. I looked in his refrigerator for something, and I saw a foil. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's... And it is Eddie. Shouts to Eddie and Lawrence. Say word, Koreans.
And they, I said, "What's in the foil?" Like, "Oh yeah, my dad got some deer meat." I open it up. It's a fucking leg. It's got fur on it. It's like, it's just a fucking a fawn's leg. It has the fur, the fucking hoof, everything wrapped in foil in their fucking refrigerator. It was the most disgusting and disturbing thing I'd seen as a child. It was almost like Stand By Me when they discovered the fucking dead body, except it's just a deer leg in a refrigerator. It's nothing like that, actually. But so we would go in there. They had really weird things. We'd mix it in this stuff. It started off with like baking soda and flour and anything to really thicken it up. And we decided that the various Asian sauces would make it at least stink. So we wanted to make this stink really, really bad. We mixed in all kinds of shit. And it got to the point, as we're throwing this shit around, we're having, we're getting dizzy and forgetting shit, and we're just kind of, freaking out and, not remembering chunks of the night. Like, it had some kind of hallucinogenic effect. I don't know, we probably mixed up fucking meth or something. I have no idea. But there was rumors that I had started fighting a fucking a road cone, punching a tree for no reason. And I puked on my best friend at the time, and he was less than pleased. And I got into a fight with one of the kids and on Mischief Night, and I got into a fist fight with him, lost my hat, and my friend thought it would be great to dump the remainder of the shit onto him. And he was down on the ground on his back, because this was a fucking little kid fight where everybody punches and then they fucking roll and shit. And he was on his back and I'm punching him in the head and in the chest and stuff. And his mouth is open as he's screaming when the fucking mystery shit, which caused us to hallucinate and vomit, went right into his throat. Right into his throat. We left really quick. And it was absolutely disgusting, Jim. But you use chicken grease on a fucking on a van, right?
I don't understand when you say you threw up on him. You mean you couldn't move you tilt your head a half an inch and not throw up on him? I mean, why'd you have to throw up directly on him? I don't understand that.
Well, I don't really remember, but I remember him being very irritated at me because he said I puked on him.
Oh, I see.
So, I really just don't remember that.
And what about this fight? Were you?
I was picking on this kid.
You were being a dick.
I was being a dick. I wanted to be a bully for some reason. I was a very small, short kid, but I wanted to be a bully that one evening, and this kind of ruined it because I felt really bad because I knew how disgusting this shit was. It was just absolutely awful. And it stunk so bad that just like even trying to get a waft of it would cause you to want to retch. And we'd wipe that shit all over fucking cars and door handles and mailboxes and we threw it all over windows and shit. We put that shit everywhere, just like people would do with soap and like you did with the chicken grease.
Right.
And the one property it had is that it would cake up and thicken really quick.
Right.
I don't know the exact mixture of what. But you can pretty much take anything under your sink, in your refrigerator, and any powder you have in your cabinets, and then anything at your Asian friend's house, mix it all together, and you have what I call the mystery shit. I gave it the name, the mystery shit.
Right.
And we would wipe it everywhere. But you used chicken grease on a windshield.
Yeah. And as far as tomorrow itself, it's actually the Halloween. Did you know that?
It is Halloween tomorrow.
And Halloween in the neighborhood, you find out who are the cheap neighbors and who are the generous neighbors.
You really do.
You do.
You do. I remember as a kid going trick-or-treating, there would be the house that gives you the really good candy, and there's the house that gives you a penny or raisin.
The worst part were those pricks who got a fucking little sandwich baggie and put five fucking pennies in it and then tied it in a knot and threw it in your bag. That was the worst. That was like getting clothes on Christmas morning as a kid. It was the worst fucking thing in the world. Or that one cheap son of a bitch who gave you one fucking dum-dum lollipop, the cheapest of cheap.
The dum-dum lollipops are the worst.
Oh.
They really are. And they're still around today. They've been around since fucking Babe Ruth was a Boston Red Sox.
And they give you one. The cheap son of a bitch, they give you one little lollipop.
And it's not even grape.
And something awful. And then you had, once in a while, you'd have that excellent neighbor who actually gave you that little paper bag full of, like, four or five different pieces of candy.
Yeah.
And they actually took the time to put it all together and make it, like, a little package for you.
My sister did that. My oldest sister did that. She would get really crafty, and on her first Halloween at her house, she wanted to do something which she thought nice for the kids. So she took these little, like, plastic gloves that you prefer the food handlers to wear. Not the rubber gloves, but little plastic gloves.
Right.
And she filled it with popcorn and put M&Ms at the tips so that it kind of looked like a turkey because she had a certain thing of candy. She made a glove look like a turkey, and basically you got like a candy corn, five M&Ms, and a fucking handful of popcorn. And she's really shocked that that kids didn't try to return and get more than one.
That's a little confusing, that kind of candy, you know.
Well, it's just like fucking, it's crafty, but all you're getting in the end is popcorn and a few M&Ms.
Now, did you ever go back to the same house twice because they were giving out really good stuff?
Yes. The full house, everybody knows the one guy wants to go big. Maybe he's in the mob, maybe he deals coke. I don't know. But he's giving away full candy bars. Goddamn candy bar. Snickers, Almond Joy, not even the fucking fun size. No, we're talking the full two fun size to a pack candy bar. King size, bitches.
Just to digress for a second, I never understood why they call the little miniature candy bars fun size. There's nothing fun about a small fucking candy bar. You want a big fucking thing to last forever, man.
It's fun because you can
about a bite-sized candy bar.
Because it's fun when you realize you're a fat fuck kid playing Nintendo with 89 of the rappers around you. That's what's fun. Because you have to eat more of them to have fun and to not feel bad about yourself.
I see.
That's what you have to do. Almond Joy's the best, though. But I like the ghetto candy. I like the Mary Janes. The Mary Janes and the Charleston Chews. I enjoy those.
Yeah, what about the those hard... not the Charleston Chews, but they were these hard caramels on a hard caramel on a stick. Can't think of the name right now.
Sugar Daddies.
Sugar Daddy.
Oh, Sugar Daddy. Snap! Yeah, those Sugar things. Daddies were really, really good. They were really good. Whoa!
Phone is ringing. Oh my God.
316-768-4472. That's 316-768-4472. You want to call the DJ New Style Show? You're on with Germ Freak and me. Who's this?
Hi, guys. It's Barb.
And Barbara.
Hey, Barbara. How's it going?
What's up?
I wanted to talk about the houses that left all their candy outside with a sign that said, please take one.
Yeah. Like, I'm just going to take one. Germ, have you ever encountered that?
I have, and I always took one like the sign said.
You little fucking liar. Douche.
Well, you're a fucking liar.
I'm not a fucking liar. I'm an honest person.
You took at least two or three. Stop lying.
I hung out with kids that took the goddamn basket, too. They're like, my mom might like this. I really like, I like Skittles. My mom likes Wicker. It's just a fucking, a match made in heaven. Let's go find two more. We'll have a complete set.
What about the house where there was nobody home on Halloween?
Yeah.
And nobody answered the door. You'd like, you were so aggravated and angry at those people, you know?
And as an adult, I realized that the way to not get kids, at least I think it's logical, to not put your lights on and expect kids to not approach a dark house in the middle fucking night.
But, that's the rule.
But I don't know how many dark houses I knocked on. It was a ton. I knocked on every fucking house because they had to have had something. And I remember this one family who happened to be, how can I describe this? Mike, what do you think of my frustration in trying to explain this family's ethnicity?
Ridiculous.
It really is. They were black. Let's just face it. They didn't have their lights on, and I knocked on the door, and they're like, yo, I mean, we really ain't got no candy. And we're like, oh, okay. So we left. And we left. But they had, this was when the leaf bag craze happened, where the bags of leaves would look like pumpkins.
Right.
They had about two of them, and after they realized that, or they told us they didn't have candy, they had zero, and they just had leaves and ripped plastic all over their lawn. You gotta have candy on Halloween. They don't say trick or treat for nothing. They got tricks because there were no treats.
But they were honest with you.
I'm a ravenous kid looking for fucking candy bars, and I will not be trifled with. If you have decorations, they will be destroyed.
Well, did you?
This is the contract with America you've signed by buying a house. What was that?
Did you fuck up the houses of the people who just didn't come to the door?
No, I did not.
Exactly.
The fact that this guy tried to reason his way out, I think he even said he forgot it was Halloween. So I'm guessing that's a blatant fucking lie, that he didn't have candy left, and he probably figured, I don't know why he opened the door. You don't fucking open the door. You don't try to bargain with kids. You don't. If you don't have candy, just fuck off, is what I say. Meanwhile, I'm 27 years old, and I'm about as passionate as I was when I was fucking 8 and doing this. Jerm, do you remember any of these houses that did you ever encounter somebody that said they don't have candy open the door?
I've never had that happen, but I had had the houses that were not opened up or the houses that get a cheap candy. I never had anybody say, actually take the time to open a door and say, we have no candy. I've never had that situation ever.
What about the apples? You ever get a candied apple?
I never got any of that stuff, no. You only see that on TV. Do people really get that stuff out?
Who's making candied apples? It really is a pain in the ass to make all these apples, and you're just going to give them out to asshole kids? Like, they always tell you to look out for a pin or a fucking blade in your candy. Nobody's doing that shit. Like, who really is going to try to put a knife in a kid's mouth via a fucking Mars bar or a whatchamacallit and not be able to see the end result? People do that so they can see it happen.
How long did you go out for? Like, about 2 hours or so?
I think it was about two. I think so.
And you come home, you empty it into a bowl, and then you smell. You put your head in that fucking bowl, and you smell
that.
No,
Jerm, I never did that. Dump it out all over the floor.
Really?
Yeah, so I got wrappers. If it didn't have wrappers, I didn't want to eat it.
I would just smell it in that bowl, man.
Just put. Well, you said last week that you're Italian, so everything you eat is in a bowl.
That's true. We eat, Italian people like to eat food in one dish, like a big bowl.
Yeah. That's what you said. I mean, yeah. I like how you tell this to me. Like I'm not half Italian.
Well, half. You cannot ever become a made member. Anyway.
Neither can your son. Oh, snap!
Oh, snap! I apologize.
Yes.
Did you do anything for the Halloween festivities at all? Or?
Well, Jerm, my buddy Jimmy sent me an Evite. And that's a buddy we all know. Jimmy, who likes to engage in
internet chatting and video conferencing and network gaming.
And lately, he's really big on the video conferencing. Not so much the network gaming, as he says. He sent me an Evite to a Halloween party. And I checked all my other friends, Shawnee Murphy and Lil Bobby Sobers, and their respective girlfriends, mine included, they were all invited. So I thought it would be a great idea. We were all going to go. I met up with Sobers and Sean, discussed some costume ideas, what we were going to be. We're at a bar talking about costumes.
So you get to see people you haven't seen in a while. It's great.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, it's gotten to the point with those guys that I really don't see them anymore. Sobers moved out of my town. He lives he lives about 20 minutes away. And Sean kind of keeps to himself. He's got a new girlfriend who's really cool, and they spend a lot of their time together, and that's all good. But we hardly see each other, so we're out and we're discussing what we're going to be and all that shit. And so I decide that I want something simple. Amanda doesn't know what the fuck she wants to be. My girlfriend Amanda, by the way. I'm saying Amanda to the listeners and to you, like, she's your best fucking friend. But the truth is, she doesn't know you, and you don't know her, so you're not friends. So we go to the Halloween store. Are you familiar with these Halloween stores that pop up around this time of year, Barb or Jerm?
I have seen them, yes. They have all those rubber masks and everything that you put on.
Yeah, that's the place that has the rubber masks.
Yeah.
Barb, have you ever been in a Halloween store recently?
Recently, yes, at the mall.
Yeah. What's with the slut wall? That's what I want to know.
They have the police woman. They have the candy striper girl.
Yep.
Of course, the French maid, which never goes out of style. Never.
Were you a French maid at one time, Barbara?
I did have one, yes.
I could have thought so.
Now, did you go trick-or-treating or to a party in that costume?
I did both in the costume, yes. It was very cold.
Do anything else?
I end up very cold at the end of Halloween night. That's all I remember.
That's what I always think. Like, these girls show up practically wearing nothing, and they go out in the freezing cold. But God bless.
Well, you know what, Ken? You know what the worst part is? When your mother made you put on a fucking coat because it was too cold out.
And it covers the entire costume.
Oh, it's the
so many
worst.
Fights with my mom. Oh, well.
So let me get this straight, Mom. You didn't spring for the Freddy Krueger glove. I didn't get the Freddy mask, and now I got to wear my fucking winter jacket.
You can't even see the sweater.
Yeah, exactly. Let's completely ruin any tinge of an illusion that I had that I might be Freddy Krueger. Let's just ruin this. I have my big blue ski parka. Fucking demand candy from people who have no idea what I am.
Right.
I have that clear mask with the fucking built-on, painted-on eyebrows and the little cheek paint. You know, the one with the fucking molded old man face that's perfectly clear except for the cheeks and the eyebrows. I had that and a fucking hat, and that's all I had, and I was supposed to be Freddy Krueger. I had a glove that I had to make out of plastic cat nails. Because Freddy Krueger has knives on his gloves, but nobody will know the difference if they're cat nails. And oh, whoops, one of them fell off. But I think in one of the movies he lost one of his knives, so it was okay. But yeah, that was the worst, Jeremy. I mean, what was your favorite costume? Were you ever the same thing twice?
One year in third grade, I had the best costume, but I had strep throat that year and I couldn't go trick or treating. And I was Dracula, and I had
that's awesome.
Oh, original.
Wow, I thought you were gonna go with hobo or ghost.
I see. anyway. Okay. So yeah, I had strep throat that year. It was third grade, 1978. I don't even think you were born at that point, New Style.
No, it was not. 2 years away, bitches.
I had strep throat and I could not trick or treat, and it was the worst Halloween of my entire life.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it.
Did you get over it?
I did get over it.
How long?
I don't think so.
A day or so. The neighborhood kids got a collection and got me some candy.
They did not.
Yes, they did.
They did not do that for
I
you.
Swear to God they did.
Like, you're the only fucking kid that ever got sick. There's a kid in a cancer ward somewhere that didn't get any fucking candy. Yeah. You have strep throat for a fucking couple weeks, or whatever the fuck you had it for.
3 days.
Whatever.
So tell me about this. Now, as far as so I'm sure you were looking forward to meeting up with friends you haven't seen in a long time at this party and seeing them there and having a good time with them there. So tell us about the situation, the party.
After spending a bunch of money at the Halloween store due to Amanda's indecision as to what she wanted to be, she ended up buying like 3 costumes. And she bought a ton of the costumes and a lot of fucking accessories and shit. And didn't end up using a lot of them, but used one of the costumes and an afro wig. She was a Raggedy Ann with an afro wig for whatever reason. So we decide we're going to make the trek. It's about,
a half hour drive or so.
3 hours, exactly. 3 hours from my house to Casa del Lil Jimmy Rhodes.
Oh, a total of 3 hours both ways. That's not too bad. An hour and a half each, you know, one way. That's good.
I love how you're doing this, Jim. But no, it's 3 hours each way. That's a total of 6 hours of driving.
Wait a second. Wait
for
a
those
second,
that
wait
are that are not too good with first grade math. That's 6 hours. 3 plus 3 is 6.
3 hours one way to a party.
Yeah, and this is dedication, Holmes.
But you know what?
Jimmy Rhodes is my boy, so I got to show up.
But you know what? The best part of it, because when you go there, you know you're going to see your friend Sobers and the other fellow. And
yeah, we're going to see him.
Catch up on good old times.
So,
it'll be great.
It's worth it to do that, right?
Absolutely. It's worth the 3 hour drive one way to see some old pals.
And it is, because it's a scenic route. My GPS decided to take some windy roads. I got to see the Delaware Water Gap. I'm about 40 minutes into my trip when I get a text message from Lil Bobby Sobers, who says, by the way, I'm not going to Jimmy's tonight because my girlfriend's sick. So we're like, oh, well, okay. That's all right.
Still had your other friend going to go.
Yeah, Sean's going to go. Sean and his girlfriend, they're going to go. Sure. We'll see them. I mean, we've driven, you know, 40 minutes. Why not just keep going?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we get there, winding roads, partly through the ghetto or whatever, and, you know, we make it there. Jimmy calls us up when we hit his street, and it says, just park anywhere. And go to the house with the tiki torches. And I'm like, well, Jimmy, your house doesn't have tiki torches in front of it. He goes, I know. It's the party's at my neighbor's house. And I'm like, oh.
Wait a second. Can you just stop for a second?
Yes.
He invited you to a Halloween party, but he invited you to a Halloween party at a neighbor's house?
Yeah. I'm assuming that what happened is they said, hey, we're having a party. We need people to go. Jimmy probably stepped up trying to be the big neighborhood hero. He's like, listen, I got at least 6 really good friends that are coming down. We're gonna tear the fucking roof off of this place. We're gonna have a great time. So I'm like, okay, fine. You know what? It's not a Jimmy's house. There's gonna be some strangers there, but we know Sean, we know his girlfriend, we know Jimmy and his wife. We might even know some other people. At least this is a good time to go there. Okay. And so we finally look for a place to park, but there's nothing left. There's fucking nothing left. Steve the LARPer checking in. He's saying in the Pal Talk room, I'd like to see that the Halloween party is finally banging. So we find this narrow spot next to a pile of gravel that's about 8 feet tall. And, like, to park there, you have to park on it, like, because it's a little bit of a flat part. We squeezed in between a pile of gravel and a fucking a Honda Civic or something. It was just a really tight parking job. It took us, like, forever to get right so that we could open the door on both sides and get out and not scratch it when we were maybe a little tipsy and trying to get back into the car. It took us forever. So we go over to the place with the tiki torches. And out comes Jimmy Rhodes in his costume, which was a condom dispenser. He was essentially a box that said condom dispenser, which had a little latch right in front of his balls where he kept condoms. And there was a little pocket you could put coins in. And on on the box, it said condom dispenser in huge letters. So to back up a little bit, as we're driving down, since we've been in the Halloween stores a lot, we noticed the slut wall, but we also noticed this aisle where there were the novelty adult costumes, where it was like, this is obviously hilarious because it's a dirty joke in costume form, where like there's a guy called the Snake Charmer who has a big snake penis that he's apparently charming. So it's hilarious because he's got a rubber penis coming out of his pants. And all those types of things, like wet t-shirt contest guy. It's adult related. It's hilarious. So me and Amanda are talking like, wow, how many of these people do you think have one of these let's get dirty with our costumes?
Giant condom.
Yeah. And the first fucking person we see in costume pretty much is one of those guys. And it's our buddy, Little Jimmy Rhodes. The condom dispenser. Oh, and to top it all off, he had a headband with little springs on it, with plastic molded penises on each side, like bug antenna. Like, you know when you're a bee for Halloween and they have the little styrofoam balls on springs? You know that? Well, he had it, instead of styrofoam balls, they were cocks, and he had condoms over them. And I do have a picture of him, and I will probably put it up, barring embarrassment from Jimmy, but fuck it, I'll put him up. So if you're listening to this live, you'll have to download the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast, well, guess what? You've already looked at them. And now you know what I've put on the goddamn site. So we meet Jimmy. Hey, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, your costume's great. Yeah, oh, that's great. So you heard about Bob, right? He's not showing up. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, somebody's sick. You know, you gotta hang out. He's like, yeah, well, Sean's not coming either. Right away, we're out in the cold on the front fucking lawn, not even in the party yet, and we find out, well, the only reason for really driving here, apart from Jimmy, is that we'll know at least one other person.
Well, let me ask you a question. How many total people were at the party, you think?
I would say 30, 40.
And so, out of the 30, 40 people, how many people did you know when you got there?
Two.
Excuse me?
Two.
I see.
I knew two. I knew, like, I've met a couple of them. Like, Jimmy's wife has a few friends and a brother, and they were there. I knew them from Jimmy's wedding. But I don't know them to, like, just bust into their circle of conversation and be like, hey, what's up? Nice. Nice costume. Really. It's awesome.
Right.
So we get inside, and Amanda is giving me the look like, dude, this is going to be quick. This is right. going to be quick. I don't care how much we drove.
Right.
We're in and we're out.
Right.
The first thing she said to me inside was, what's the appropriate amount of time to leave a party so that you don't look like a complete dick for having left that early? What do you think that is? Like, if you show up at a place, Germ, how late can you stay if you don't want to be there ever? So Lara's saying 20 minutes, and I'm guessing she would just fucking leave in 20 minutes and not even think twice about it.
You know what sucks is that you drove 3 hours one way to get there.
Yeah.
So you're saying to yourself, here it is, I drove 3 hours. I want to at least, you know, get some good food, you know, at least make the most of this and at least take advantage of what's going on here.
Yeah, I want some food. I want to go get a couple drinks. So I go and get a drink. I see more hilarious costumes. And I go, and now it's time to check out some food. I want to get some food. I want to eat something. So I go over to this table where I see people standing by, and it looks like there's a lot of good stuff there. Go up to it and go up there. And no offense, Mike Nice and a guy from Colonia. There's a black fella who's got a bathrobe on and pajamas and slippers. This is his costume. Apparently, he's dressing up like his weekdays.
Okay.
Just pajamas all day.
Oh, boy. He
no offense.
I just got what you said. Okay.
You listen. Okay.
It was like a normal day.
Fine. Let's fucking
love one another all the while.
Ridiculous.
Completely ridiculous. I'm sorry, Mike Ness. I didn't mean to make fun of the obviously unemployed black guy. Anyway, he was touching all of the food with his fingers. The pepperoni slices, the salami slices, the little diced cheeses, and the spinach dips, and all that shit. He was touching all of it with his hands, Jim. And I got a little bit bugged out, not because he's a black guy, but just because, like, there's fucking forks there. There are fucking forks. If there are forks...
Did you try to get him to notice the forks? Did you, like, hold the fork, like, you know, take the fork and make all the jiggly sound and say to yourself, okay, here's my fork, I'll take this. Did you try and bring it to his attention?
No, because I'm not like you. I'm not going to change somebody's fucking eating habits. You just don't do that. You can't do it. So instead, what you have to do is you have to observe the pieces that he's not touching.
Oh.
And just pretend you don't know of anybody else touching the other ones.
Right.
You have to grab a slice that has not been touched or grazed while he was grabbing his stuff. So I grabbed some of it, and I ate a little bit of it. They had soft pretzels and shit, and it was pretty good. The food was good. The drinks were plentiful.
Yeah.
Amanda was very, 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 very upset that she was there. We were basically, I had a plate of food, and I arrived at our final destination at the party, the couch, where we just sat, me and Amanda, taking pictures of each other constantly. For what amounted to about 2 hours, she decided about 10 o'clock, we're going to wrap it up. We're going to go outside, find Jimmy, whatever, and get a picture of him, get a picture of his costume, take pictures with him, and we're going to go. Because we didn't see Jimmy the entire time. We saw his wife, very cordial, talked to us a couple times, but Jimmy was outside playing a little game called beer pong, Jeremy.
What's that? I never heard that. Like a ping pong, you mean?
No, not ping pong. Barb, you've heard of beer pong, correct?
Yes, I have. I am in college.
Okay. Well, I've played it. And,
explain to me what it is before you can move on, please.
Okay. It's basically a ping pong table with no net. Okay, picture a ping pong table with no net and solo cups. Are you familiar with the solo cups? The red plastic, blue plastic? Color doesn't matter, right? They take them and they arrange them on either side of the ping pong table in a triangle. I can't believe I'm explaining beer pong. Or Beirut. Like, people call it Beirut in, like, fucking hick states. Doesn't matter. And they fill them, like, maybe 3 inches deep with beer on each side. And they take a ping pong ball. And the object of the game is to fucking... or a triangle. Not a... Not a It's not a pyramid. It's a fucking triangle. How is it a pyramid, Mike Nice? I'm arguing with chat text. Pyramid is three-dimensional. Triangle is fucking 2D. Unless you're stacking up cups on top of each other, it's not a fucking pyramid. Anyway, listen. So you take this ping pong ball, and the object of the game is to throw it into the other person's cup. Now, when you get this ball into their cup, they have to drink that cup, the cup of beer, completely, and discard the cup and rearrange the shape of their cups. Okay. And if they run out of cups, they lose.
Now I'm assuming that each time a ball is thrown, it's a fresh ball, right?
It's the same ball, and they use the same ball for weeks on end. Like when every time they play, they use the same ball.
So there could be like 4, 5, 6 people grasping the same ball with their sweaty hands.
Yes.
And putting the ball in the cup and people drinking it, I see.
Yeah, and sometimes, Germ, sometimes, actually very often, the ball goes on the ground.
Oh, at that point, they got to replace the ball.
No, they
obviously
do not. They could roll off into the corner under a fucking workbench. They will find the ball, but they've instituted a measure of cleansing it. Because this is the way they clean the ball.
But let me—they probably have some kind of Purell, some kind of sanitizer of some sort. How do they?
Even better, they have another solo cup filled with water that they dunk into, like when you're cleaning a fucking watercolor brush.
Yeah,
that's what they do with the ball. They're about to throw in a drink they're going to consume.
There's some type of antiseptic of some sort in there, or
no? It's fucking tap water, Jim.
Excuse me.
It's tap water. They just fucking dip it in, and then they start playing again.
So if something falls on the ground and they dip it into the same disgusting, greasy water.
Yeah.
That's almost comparable to when you're a little kid and you have one of those baby pools, those pools in the backyard, and you'd have to dunk your feet in the fucking, in a little pot to get the fucking grass off your feet before you go into the fucking, goddamn pool.
Yes. That's exactly what it is.
It adds a nice little salty spice.
Oh, that's...
It really does, especially if it's like a really dank basement or the outside.
Yeah.
Like, Germ,
yeah.
I've played it at some parties where people had a house in college, and it's always in the basement. Like, some of these houses are fucking, like, 100 years old.
Sure.
Who knows what kind of grime has built up in some of these hard-to-reach corners, Germ.
There could be, you know, mice. They have mice or something, and
mice shit, mouse shit, rat shit. All of that. Mix it in with some natty ice. It's delicious. People love
Mike's hard and puke.
Mike's hard. Who plays beer pong with Mike's hard lemonade?
It's on the floor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Mike's hard puke. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Yeah, the Mike's hard puke is impervious to cleansers. You can't get that up. Germ, you wanna start a DJ New Style Show beer pong tournament?
I'll skip that one.
You'll be on my team? Don't let me down, man. Do not let me down.
I will not never do that.
It's okay, because one person can drink for the other person.
Oh, okay.
I'm driving, though, so you got to drink. Is that okay?
Oh.
Don't let me down, man.
I prefer not to take part in that type of game.
Why not, dude? Be a man. Mike Nice is absolutely right. He says the beer kills the germs.
Okay, so if somebody pisses into a cup of beer, are you going to drink it, New Style?
Completely purified by the beer.
Are you going to drink it?
Yeah, I'll drink it right now.
All right. If I piss into a cup of beer, are you going to drink it?
Yeah, I'll drink it right now.
If somebody with hepatitis bleeds into a cup of beer, are you going to drink it?
Yes, I will drink hepatitis blood in fucking beer because it's going to be completely pured. Yeah, purified.
Okay.
But only if you do it first. Trust me, and believe me, if you do it first, you'll be okay because it's pure.
Right.
I hear a little beep. It's okay.
Yeah.
Alive.
So Jimmy is playing game after game of beer pong. Game after game. Probably 10 games. He's unstoppable. Him and the guy that's dressed up as an ABA player with a huge afro and some basketball shorts or whatever are tearing it up. A box of a condom dispenser with little springy dicks on his head. Is ripping up everybody at beer pong. So he's wasted. I mean, because you can't go, you know, without drinking beer in that game. You have to. Even if the cups have been used. Oh, and here's another thing, Germ. They reuse the cups.
Excuse me?
They reuse the cups. So after somebody has consumed their beer and lost the game, the next person comes up and plays and uses the same cups.
I see.
And this is the college world that, like, this is a huge game in college. So your kids are about to enter that in just a few short years. They're going to be drinking from other people's cups and picking up ping pong balls and just quickly rinsing them in a cup and then tossing them into beverages that are going to be consumed by people.
Right.
Now, the people who were there, I mean, these are kind of people that you would normally hang out with. I mean, were there, do they have good occupations and stuff of that nature?
As I'm going up to take a leak, I'm in line, and I'm overhearing a wonderful conversation between a guy dressed up as a Lieutenant Jay Dangle from Reno 911 and an obviously 47-year-old man in a padded muscle Spider-Man costume with Converse sneakers. they're discussing who has had more hours of community service served. Who has done more community service?
You mean like voluntary community service, helping out the homeless, you know, soup kitchens?
No, actually, like, you know, as punishment for crime.
Okay. Just hold on. There were people there who were... Okay. All right. I'm a little confused. What do you mean now?
The one guy served 400 hours community service for just going onto the roof of a building, and I think he was heaving items off of it, and the cops arrested him.
Right.
And this was Dangle. This was Lieutenant Jay Dangle, which is ironic that an officer of the law would be committing crimes such as trespassing.
You know what, Ken? I mean, he must have did some kind of prank when he was younger. You know, no, it's really no harm, no done on that. I'm sure it was not big of a deal. I'm sure the same thing.
It was last month.
I see.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the other guy did something of that sort, some kind of childish prank of some sort with the other guy.
Well, when the Spider-Man guy with his winter's costume had padded muscles, which just looks ridiculous on anybody who's not five. When he heard 400, he scoffed and said, 400? That ain't shit. I had what amounted to murder pled down to 1,000 hours. So, and then everybody kind of grew quiet. I took my piss and I fucking decided, hey, this is the time to go up to Jimmy. And fucking say, okay, well, hey, thanks. Thanks for inviting us. And we're gonna bounce. We got a bit of a drive. Yeah, he must have killed somebody or been accessory to a murder and had an amazing lawyer. Somehow. I don't know. I like to believe that 47-year-old padded muscle Spider-Man guy with Converse sneakers is an honest man.
Okay, so this is the second time that you know of that you've been... in the presence of a murderer. Is that what you're trying to
tell us? Yeah, OJ. I met OJ in Vegas.
Right.
My buddy, OJ Orenthal James.
Simpson.
Yes.
He was innocent.
Completely. Mike, okay. Mike Nice, what do you think about the, I mean, I'm not talking about the original trial, but the other one where...
The civil trial.
Yeah, the civil trial. What do you think about the results of that one?
Ridiculous.
Completely ridiculous. He didn't do shit. Free OJ. So...
So you were at a party with a murderer.
Pretty much.
Wow.
Pretty much. And so I go over to Jimmy, who's obviously bombed at this point. He is wasted. And Mike Nice is saying, stop using clips. But where are you, Mike? Where are you? That's what I want to know. Oh, my God. I can't help but be sexy. I apologize, guys. I apologize.
All right, that's my line. I like to do copyright.
You can't. You can't copyright.
Is that on the list? Is that on the list?
The list. I apologize.
What's this list?
On the list,
Germ. What's this list you speak of? Copyright.
It's a list I've. You know, a lot of people use my lines in everyday conversation, and I'm tired of not getting credit for it. So I compiled a list on my Tumblr.
Your Tumblr is what? Germfreak.tumblr.com.
Something of that nature. I don't really pay attention.
You don't know the URL of your site that you update?
So everything's on automatic, so I just hit, you know, whatever, and then it comes up. You know what I'm saying? I don't remember my...
No, I have no idea, because usually when I want to go to a website, I remember what website I want to go to, and I actually go to it.
Okay. Anyway, may I finish?
Yeah, so we go to Jimmy, and we're going to say, okay, listen, we're going to leave. And Jimmy's wife comes over. Like, so, you guys having fun? Right as we're standing there ready to get Jimmy's attention to let him know that we're leaving, we're like, oh, yeah, we're having a blast. This is a.
So now you know you're stuck there for at least a little longer.
No, we're craftier than that, Jim. We waited until she left because Jimmy's so wrecked he has no idea what's been said around him. We're like, oh, well, Jimmy, we're going to go. Thanks. He's like, oh, okay, guys. Thanks. And we just made like we were just going upstairs. <We left. laughs>
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm interested in this list though that you mentioned. I don't think I've read it completely through. You've actually constructed a list of things that you've copyrighted.
I've constructed a list that I've copyrighted. These are terms that I've copyrighted, words that I've invented.
You've invented. You're a wordsmith.
I've invented words to utilize at different points in time. For example, I invented the words "thank you," and I invented saying "thank you" after a statement.
You didn't invent the word "thank you." You invented.
No, listen to me. I invented saying it at the at a specific point in time. The case in point: a lot of times, if I make a statement, I'll say "thank you" at the end, or if I ask a question, I say "thank you." The "thank you" following the statement is to show gratitude to the other party for allowing me to speak to him or her. The "thank you" following the question is an advance appreciation given to the party for answering my question.
But isn't it a little sarcastic when you do it? Like, you'll say something that's so matter-of-fact and then say "thank you" immediately. I thought that was what you usually do.
No.
You're describing it as, like, what any fucking public speaker does when they ask for money or donations.
No, I say thank you for allowing me to speak with the individual, and I say thank you.
Listen!
It's sort of like when you say thanks in advance,
Listen! What's that?
I invented listen because a lot of times when you speak to an individual, they're not paying attention. So if I say listen up front, it gets the undivided attention of the individual.
You know what's bad when someone named Mike underscore Marin 2001 underscore 03 just types wow after hearing you claim that you invented thank you and listen. I see the third item on the list is I see period.
I see is, I invented using the words I see, if somebody explains something to you, it simply just ensures that person that, you know what the person's saying, that you understand.
So you're the first person to ever do these things.
Exactly.
No, you're not, Sam.
You're not.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're not.
I've heard people say, before, fucking presidents have said thank you at the end of things.
TSB, Frank.
Okay.
TSB.
What's that?
What's fucking bad.
Okay. I coined the acronym TFB. And
no, you did.
I coined the acronym TFB, too fucking bad. That's my invention.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
Whatever. I'm not going to argue with you.
Yes, you will. There's nothing else that you can do.
You know what you are? You're a stealer.
Mm-hmm.
You are a stealer.
I've invented no holding back. You cannot deny that.
No, you did not invent
no holding
back. How did you invent no holding back?
Because I invented the phrase no holding back after asking a question because it warns the person answering the question that he or she should not withhold pertinent information.
So before you made this, everybody held back? Ever?
I mean, did anybody ever hold back before you?
Listen, I'm not going to get into semantics with you, okay? Because obviously you don't have the intelligence to understand.
What do you mean? I have the intelligence to know that I've heard the phrase, no holding back. I think Wayne Wonder would probably have a fucking take exception to your claim.
Listen. I've also invented... there's something I have not invented, and that's something called she and Tyson.
Listen to this. Listen to this, Jerm. Snap. God, this takes a while to kick in. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't normally listen to Black Creations. I don't really know. Yeah, we'll just let that fucking play.
Let that move on.
Germ.
Yeah.
You did not invent no holding back.
I brought to the popularity.
No holding back. That's a long way to go to just to prove that you didn't invent no holding back. I mean, it really is.
I'm not going to fight with you over it.
You didn't invent that, Germ. You didn't invent that. What else do you claim that you invented?
I'm not going to argue with you over it.
What is She Enticed Me?
She Enticed Me is something that is was written by an individual by the name of Freddie Wilhite. Freddie Wilhite shot his wife with a .38 in the stomach, and he called for 911, and he explained to the 911 operator, he said to her, the dispatcher asked why he did this, and he said, "She enticed me, and she would ridicule me throughout my lifetime."
Hello, this is Freddie Wilhite. How can I help you? Shot my wife in the stomach with a .38. Why did you do this?
Germ.
She enticed me, and she would ridicule me throughout my lifetime.
I don't know if she's dead or not.
So How did you invent that? I don't understand. Copyright that?
I didn't copyright. I brought the catchphrase, "She enticed me." I brought that to the forefront of the Pal Talk community.
Amazing and astounding. Why don't we just move quick down the list, because I got to take a dump really quick. I noticed that you have... This is how Ken does it. He closes his mouth and clenches his teeth, and he says a real loud... Oh, snap! What is that?
I invented this... See, when Ken says, "Oh, snap," this is how he does it. He closes his mouth, he clenches his teeth, and he says it real loud. Oh, snap! I invented this phrase because I want others to know of the impact of Ken's method of saying, "Oh, snap," and bring it to the... the popularity. And in closing, I just want to say that people have permission to utilize these terms as long as they give me credit by saying copyright Germ Freak after each one is used. The violators will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Thank you.
I like how...
fuck off.
Yeah, exactly.
I invented "oh, fuck off" as well.
Oh, go fuck off.
You didn't invent "oh, fuck off."
I invented the phrase "go fuck off" to be utilized when showing displeasure towards someone.
You didn't.
Listen to me. It is also a dismissal of that person's
comments. Germ, I'll go fuck off. This is the DJ New Style Show. This is what Ken does when he goes to work. This is what Ken does. He clicks on the sound and the sound goes.
The DJ New Style Show will be right back.
I love that clip, dude.
All right, Germ, what do you have for us?
My next song. This single hit the charts in 1988, eventually reaching number one on the Billboard Hot 100. I love her eyes and her wild, wild hair. It's the Escape Club. Fuck! I almost had that perfect. God damn it. I apologize. This single hit the charts. This single hit the charts in late 1988, eventually reaching number one on the Billboard Hot 100. I love her eyes and her wild, wild hair. It's Wild Wild West by the Escape Club.
47 deadbeats living in a back street, north, east, west, south, all in the same house. Sitting in a back room, waiting for the big boom. I'm in a bedroom, waiting for my baby. She's so mean. Yeah.
when me chat on the mic. Children start to keep them rocking till a broad daylight. I hear come this escape club to rock it tonight. Say,
Style Show.
This song, originally written and recorded by Neil Diamond, hit number 63 on the Hot Billboard 100. A U.S. release in 1988 by UB40 hit number one. It's Red Red Wine with UB... you know what? That's not flowing right. I apologize. Okay. You ready? Hello? Yo! Okay. This song, originally written and recorded by Neil Diamond, hit number 63 on the Billboard Hot 100. This release in 1988 hit number one. It's UB40 with Red Red Wine.
So fine, you keep me rocking all of the time. Red, red wine, you make me feel so grand. I feel $1 million when you're just in my hand. Red, red wine, you make me feel so sad. Anytime I see you go, it make me feel bad. Red, red wine, you make me feel so fine. Monkey packing is the band of sweet red wine. Red, red wine, you give me woolly pazing. Woolly pazing, make me do my own thing. Red, red wine, you really know how to love. You're kind of loving like a blessing from above. Red, red wine, I love you right from the start.
right from the start with all of my art. Red, red wine in a 80s style. Red, red wine in a modern beat style. Yeah. Love you till I die, and that's no lie. Red, red wine can't get you off my mind. Wherever you may be, I'll surely find. I'll surely find. Make no fuss, just
Sony from 10th and Diamond. You listen to the DJ New Style Show. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. DJ New Style Show, bitches. All them janky hoes know where to listen, don't they, Mike Nice? Sons of bitches. Thereisnoradio.com.
Hey.
I think
Barbara's still here. I didn't know she was still here.
Yeah, we have everybody still on the line. Barbara, you're still here? Is that correct?
No.
Hello? I faded that out. And I really look like a pro when I fade things out. I'm wiping my disgusting mouth. I've been gorging on pork roast tonight, Germ. Decided I'd be nice and tell you.
Do you want a medal? I mean, I didn't really care.
Hey, what's with the attitude?
You know what? I really don't appreciate it, Germ. I like to think that we're friends.
Oh,
you son of a bitch bastard.
So, I also invented that as well. I started saying son of a bitch bastard.
No, you did not.
Whatever. I'm not going to get drunk.
I think I heard my dad call somebody that when I was like fucking 6 years old.
Whatever.
So I guarantee, did you invent that long ago?
All right, whatever.
You didn't invent shit, Germ. You didn't. Okay, anyway. Oh. Holy shit. Have you ever been to a wedding on a Friday night, Germ?
I've never been to a Friday night wedding in my life.
If you had to... What location would be ideal, relative to where you live?
I'm not sure I understand the question when you say what would
if
be
you
ideal.
If you had to choose, like you have to go to a Friday wedding.
Right.
What would be the worst possible place in America?
Probably like somewhere in New York, like Long Island or something like that.
Exactly. Long Island, Germ. Probably the most difficult place to get to, even if you're 10 minutes away. 10 minutes turns into an hour. If you're 2 hours away, it's gonna take 3 hours. And the fucking wedding was on a Friday night in Long Island. Beautiful ceremony. But I had to take a day off of work, Jim. Don't really appreciate that. I like to use my days for other things.
So when they sent you an invitation, did they compensate you for your time off from work?
Who? Who's gonna compensate? When have you ever been invited to a wedding where they put like a check in, say, "Hey, this is for you. I know you're taking off of work."
Well, I mean, all right, whatever, go ahead.
Yeah, so it was beautiful. It was my cousins. They live out in Long Island. It was a really nice wedding. Cocktail sure hour was great.
Yeah, I'm sure they put you up in a nice place as well.
Well, we stayed at what amounts to a Best Western.
Okay.
And we get there, Jerm, and I think this is just really charming and endearing of a place to stay. When you pull into the parking lot and look at it, and you see just doors and windows. And, oh, those aren't like storage rooms. No, those are the rooms. All the rooms exit to the outside world. There's no lobby. No apparent lobby.
So wow. You're in your like room. Like a Bates Motel type of thing.
It is like a Bates Motel type thing. And this fucking place was run down. We're looking at the fucking... We're looking at the second floor. It's two stories. And every room has the stupid window, the double window with the air conditioner out of one half of the other window. Right. And the fucking door that leads to the outside. This is like a fuck nest. This is where people like Ed go and meet with whores.
Were there hourly rates on the wall, on the billboard there?
No, there was there were not.
Were there water beds and free X-rated movies? I mean, that's what you should...
God, I wish. I didn't get that room. I did not get to to partake in any of that.
So, I mean, how was the standards of the room?
Luckily, Jerm, they had an indoor floor. They had a floor inside, which we didn't know about. We were initially upset that we saw no lobby. We like a lobby in our hotels because we don't want the ability, or we want it to be as difficult as possible for a homeless man to murder me in my sleep wherever we go. When your window and your door exits out into a fucking black, no unlit parking lot, the probability is quite high. And the ease of murdering me in my sleep skyrockets. So we go inside, and as it turns out, the rooms we reserved were in their new section, which is just above in this relatively nice but semi-well-worn hotel that had an elevator, lobby, and all that, blah, 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 blah. So we get to our room. I'm sharing a room. Me and my girlfriend Amanda are sharing a room with my sister and my brother-in-law. There's two beds. It's not like a fucking John Boy type thing, and it's not like four of us in a bed. It's two of us to our own. You know, we each have our own bed, and there's a couch, TV. It's relatively nice. It's everything you could expect out of a fucking room you're gonna stay in for one night. And the bed was really comfy, and the sheets were warm, and the pillows were comfortable.
The sheets were warm before you got into bed.
No, I don't mean that they were warm like when you get on a bus seat after someone's been on it. I meant like they kept you warm.
Did you feel all snuggly in sheets that other people have breathed on and rubbed their...
Oh, whatever. I go in there, I put them over my face and sleep. I let the sheets go over my face.
Did you put your head on a pillow that other people have coughed into and sneezed into?
Yeah. And you know what? I've put my face into the pillow when I roll and I go sleep on my side. I build a nest, basically.
Do you feel just as comfortable in a bed, like a hotel bed or whatever, motel, as you do in your own bed?
I have to say, it depends on the place. But in this case, yes, I did. I really did feel just about as comfortable.
Shame on you.
Why?
Shame on you, you animal.
Barb, can you help me out here? I mean, is it really that unreasonable to enjoy your stay in a hotel?
To enjoy a stay at where you were staying?
Yeah, I mean,
why not?
Like, is it possible for a bed to be comfortable that's not yours and that someone else may have slept on and probably have fucked on and probably jizzed on a pillow? Who knows?
So you're aware of that?
Yeah, you have to.
You're
fucking
aware.
Be.
Listen to me. You're aware that the sheets that you were lying on at one time were probably utilized in a fuck session.
Probably. Yeah. I mean,
I hope so.
It's Long Island. It's it used to be a fucking motel. Guaranteed. Yes.
And that doesn't skeeve you out at all.
No, it doesn't. Because where else am I going to sleep?
I stand up when I go.
You can't stand up and sleep, Jim. You're not a fucking horse.
Listen, I went to Wildwood for a couple days this summer.
Oh, and you put your face against the wall, like your skin touches the wall that they never clean?
I leaned against the corner of a wall where two walls meet. I leaned against it and fell asleep that way.
Our buddy Alki from alkisbag.org is checking in. The reason why Germ is able to sleep while standing up is because he's a conehead. Jesus Christ, Germ. It was good, but come on.
I think it was funny. He had a couple good liners there. I got to give him credit. You know, I'm just curious to know, is Irish Alki, is he 100% Irish, do you think, or does he have a little bit of other stuff in him? Whatever. I'm just curious.
He's black and completely sober.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, now when you put slide into these sheets and your feet are in the sheets, you're aware that your feet are probably in the same place somebody's disgusting feet were?
Yeah, but usually I don't keep my feet under the sheets because I like to have my feet sticking out.
Really? Why is that?
Really?
I like the cold on my feet, and then when they get too cold, I put them under.
Aww.
Oh, God.
How nice. So cuddly.
How do you sleep, Barbara?
I can't sleep with socks on either, Jeremy. I have to sleep barefooted.
Barbara, how do you sleep typically? Do you wrap yourself like a cocoon?
Like a what, Jeremy?
Yes, I do. I do. Jeremy, I need to stay warm.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Barbara, but I have to. Jeremy, could you please say that again?
A cocoon?
What was that movie with Wilford Brimley and Don Ameche?
Cocoon?
Now, wait, what did you just say?
What?
I asked her if she sleeps in a cocoon.
Ridiculous.
No, Mike Nice, he said cocoon.
Frank, okay, you didn't get that?
Move on. I know what he said, but it's not appropriate.
But you do, Barb. You wrap
You're
yourself up. You kind of nest in your bed, create a little fortress, maybe.
I have to wrap myself because, I rarely wear clothes to bed. I don't like wearing clothes.
For Christ's sake, there she goes with that again.
I didn't want to say because I knew that Frank would get all, freaked out.
Well, Jim, what is that? How does that bother you?
It doesn't bother me at all. But I don't know if she's telling the truth, that's all.
You don't think she's lying about
sometimes
that?
Sometimes I think she might say now. Sometimes she may say things just to get a rise out of people, you know what I'm saying?
Usually, yeah, exactly. I think that people contest statements like that because they maybe want to find out.
It's sort of like the people who want to be noticed, you know, like the people who they'll drive with the radio real loud and they'll open the windows real loud so people can notice them, you know what I mean?
I think I did that when I was 17 because I thought it would be awesome.
You probably rolled the windows down and went past your old high school so all the girls could see you.
No, I never did that because there was always the guy that was a little too old, cruising for the 14-year-old bitches.
And no one understands.
A little
either.
Too old. And then I'm like, wow, what a loser. And here at 27, he looks like fucking the smartest guy alive.
Tell me this doesn't, this isn't somebody starving for attention. The guy who, today was a pretty chilly day this morning. I don't know what it was, probably the 40s or something.
A little cold. Sweater weather almost.
Right. Why are people driving with their convertible tops down in this weather? I don't understand it. What is the point?
You saw somebody with their convertible top down?
Absolutely. He had his convertible top down. He had a winter coat on, gloves, and a hat. And he's drinking a fucking hot beverage. What is the point? Why? I don't understand. Why does he have the top down if he's so fucking cold?
Maybe he does the same thing with his body that I do with my feet. He has to have them be cold, but then he warms them up with a winter coat and a hot beverage. But he's using his face and everything else instead of his feet.
I see.
Or maybe his convertible is broken. He's got no other car. He can't get the fucking top open.
Right.
I see.
I doubt that very much so, but whatever.
I see. Copyright germ
my back. Yeah.
What happened to your back?
No, I just got the little bit of a pinch, a twinge.
A pinch?
Yeah. I went to, I had to go to Newark the other day in a, talk about a segue. I had to go to Newark the other day.
What's that have to do with the scooter?
Excuse me?
What's that have to do with the human transporter? The little scooter thing. Segway.
I'm not sure. Oh, okay. You're being a smart ass.
Hilarious.
Okay.
You can get it.
Yeah.
Right.
Nobody else got it, though. Anyway, I went to I had to go to Newark on Springfield Avenue the other day, and there's a brand new Applebee's right on Springfield Avenue.
In Newark.
In the heart of one of the toughest areas in the state.
Now, it's the toughest area. Why?
Well, high crime.
High crime? Is that what you're trying to get at?
Yeah, high crime, you know, gang activity, things of that nature.
Now, why would you say there's high crime and gang activity? What are you really trying to say?
I'm not trying to say anything. I'm saying it's a
high-crime
area.
I mean, I think
area.
You're insinuating. So, Mike Nice, what do you think about what Germ Freak is alluding to as to the racial makeup of the area?
Ridiculous.
Completely ridiculous. I don't know where you get off.
First of all, New Style, I don't know where you get off by putting words in my mouth and insinuating things that I'm not even referencing. I said a high-crime area. I don't care if it's black, white, Chinese. Or
here he goes with the black shit again. God.
I said a high-crime area.
You know what? Cut that. German, you have to learn to love one another, not be so racist, even if Newark is just completely infested with blacks.
Excuse me. First of all, I mentioned nothing about skin color, okay? You're the asshole who tries to put words in my fucking mouth.
God,
all right?
I guess, what did Applebee's spill your Arnold Palmer on you or something?
I simply said a high crime area, regardless of who lives there. That's irrelevant to me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. Do you also have a dream?
Yeah, your true colors are coming out, New Style.
Your true colors...
Yes, what was that?
I am a very nice person. Please continue with your wonderful Applebee's story in Newark.
So, I'm saying to myself, you know, I don't think I'd feel comfortable going to, like, a sit-down restaurant, you know, where you have a fear that you're going to get shot execution style while eating your big beef burger. You know what I'm saying?
So you envision maybe getting murdered while eating your meal.
Yeah, I mean, you're
sitting at your table, maybe enjoying your meal.
Right. In high-crime areas, you know, sometimes people will hold up a retail store, even in the middle of day.
Yeah.
You know, take some people as hostages or whatever. what's the problem?
You?
So, you know, you go into an Applebee's restaurant on Springfield Avenue in Newark, you know, in a high-crime area, and, you know, you're eating your French onion soup or whatever they have.
Good in the neighborhood. It's Applebee's.
Yeah. I don't know. It's frightening that, I don't know.
Alki's checking in. He's never heard of a chain restaurant getting held up. What are they stealing? The fucking fake guitars and the nostalgia posters of fucking Han Solo on the wall? They're going to rob the Atari 2600 they have nailed to the wall?
Irish Alki, he's an expert, I suppose, on criminal behavior. I'm sure there was never a chain restaurant that ever got held up in the world. Come on.
So let's see. You have this vision that's going to happen to you. You're eating your meal, your delicious meal. You're enjoying it. And then all of a sudden, a gunman, a guy with a gun walks in and holds it up. Is that what you picture in your head?
Exactly.
And what color is he?
Even like that's irrelevant. I don't even think about that.
So in your vision, you don't even picture him as having skin.
His color is irrelevant to me.
But what, when you first thought of it?
My first thought is nothing.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Even if McDonald's, a Burger King, in a high crime area, I always think the food's not going to be as good.
It's irrelevant indeed. Irrelevant. Mike Nice, what do you think about his story?
This shit is baganza, kid. Fucking baganza.
Completely baganza.
Holy
kid.
Shit.
Completely.
So anyway, may I just finish my story?
Yeah, please do.
So you know, going to a McDonald's, like an area like, you know, like a high crime area, like maybe East Orange or Patterson or Irvington, Camden, you know, I just get the sense that the food's not going to be as safe.
Yeah, Alki, he's saying every town you've named is notoriously known as a black town. Just say black towns.
I you know what? I have no idea what you're...
You know, whatever. You go to these areas like Webster Avenue and Watts and Compton, and there's just, you know, certain elements. I'm not talking about race.
Whatever, dude. You know, you could put all the words in my mouth as you will. Okay, to me, the color is irrelevant. I'm just saying areas that have high crime, regardless of who lives there, okay?
Would you agree that you don't see black and white and that you just see shades of gray?
You know what? Let me just say, so one time a person asked me what color God is, okay?
What color do you think God is? That's a good question.
You know what I said? I said God's the color of water. Okay? There you go. Chew on that a little bit, boy.
So God has hypothermia? You're trying to say God is freezing all the time? Or is he a Smurf?
Could I just finish, please?
What is God?
Okay. That's not my point, okay? My point, he's colorless.
Actually, hold on. Barb, what color do you think God is?
He's colorless.
I think he's gold.
He's gold?
See? Look at Irish Alki, who, may I say, is a Rutgers University graduate, understood what I said. Water is colorless. That's my point. Exactly.
So you're saying God has no color?
He's colorless.
Then why has he damned the Negroes? God, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
You know, that was so fucking uncalled for.
I gotta play it for myself. And cut it. I mean, because even though it seems like the Negroes may have been damned, it's really not nice to point out on an internet radio show. I'm sorry. Jesus Christ. Listen, Germ, I say that God is colorless as well. I agree with you.
Right.
Barb, you're completely wrong when you say that he's gold, because it has been written that he has no color. Even though the Bible says he made us in his image. So I don't know. What image are we going off of here, Germ?
He has perfect hair.
Yes. He hosts an internet radio show. He has perfect hair. And he has a bumbling co-host.
I see.
You're not bumbling. I'm just kidding.
Thank you.
So,
well,
Germ,
next time you're in the Newark area, we can meet up at Wendy's and have a nice double cheeseburger.
I think we should maybe do something or meet up at some kind of a restaurant in an urban area just to see or observe. I like to observe.
Absolutely.
You know what? I think it really would be a good idea if we did that. Son of a bitch, look at the time. Why don't we get some quick little plugs out here, Germ. I don't know if you have anything you'd like to plug. Perhaps germfreak.tumblr.com. There's no E in Tumblr. Barb, do you have anything you'd like to plug, Barb?
No.
Our pussy.
Miss Rich.
Yeah, Miss Rich as well. I tip some out every day. That's right. And also, be sure to visit alkiesbag.org. T-shirts coming soon, I guess. T-shirts coming soon. Thanks go out to everybody who listens. And me. Germ, Barb, thank you very much.
Until next time, American.
You have something you'd like to say, Germ?
I would just like to say thank you for coming here.
Okay.
And
you're muted.
Ladies and gentlemen.